Que es dura la situación de Caimito. Ayer mismo la quitaron de 9 de la mañana a 12 del día por rotura. Después llegó y la volvieron a quitar de 4 de la tarde a 8 de la noche. Y hoy cuando me levanté sobre las 6 de la mañana, la habían quitado ya.
Welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's video, I want to talk about Cuba. And Cuba is another country that is now suffering because of the massive increases that we've seen in the price of food commodities and oil as a direct result of this war. As with a lot of the other countries that we've discussed, Cuba is a net importer of goods and therefore is entirely exposed to these global prices. And one of the reasons that I wanted to talk about Cuba today is that it is a country that has faced international sanctions for a very long period of time. And those sanctions have had a massive impact on the economy of Cuba. So as well as looking at what's going on right now today in Cuba, we'll also look at the sanctions that were imposed and what the implications of those were and whether there's anything that we can apply to what's going on with Russia right now and the sanctions that are imposed against it. So we'll start off by having a very brief look at the history of Cuba, and I don't want to get into too much of the politics, so it will be a very brief history. We'll then look at the sanctions that have been applied against it. We'll have a look at what's going on with regards to oil, because Cuba does have its own oil reserves. We'll then talk about food and the economy. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my view as to what I think is likely to happen in Cuba over the next 3 to 6 months and what the impacts of that will be on the global economy. So before we get into all of that, as usual, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content, and please subscribe if you haven't done so already. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look in the description below where you'll find the link to Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon and YouTube Super Thanks feature. Cuba is the largest of all of the Caribbean islands and has a population of around 11 million people. And it's located relatively close to the southern tip of the Florida Peninsula. In terms of natural resources, Cuba does have oil reserves. However, it doesn't have enough to be able to feed its own population and therefore is still a net importer of oil. There are some mineral deposits on the island, the two largest being nickel and zinc, which are both exported. And the two main crops that are cultivated on the island are sugarcane and tobacco, and Cuba is famous for its cigars and its rum. As mentioned earlier, Cuba is a net importer. The value of goods exported by Cuba is around $1.1 billion, but it's importing around $3.4 billion. The top exports by value are tobacco, with around $270 million worth of sales, sugar, $200 million, nickel, $140 million, alcohol, around $80 million, and zinc at $70 million. In terms of the goods imported, the official register only shows food items, with poultry equating to around $270 million, wheat, $140 million, corn, a similar level, concentrated milk, around $130 million, and rice, about $70 million. Now, the biggest single item that's not showing on this balance of trade for Cuba is oil. And Cuba needs to import around 100,000 barrels of oil per day to be able to fuel its electricity power stations. And the reason that it's not showing on the balance of trade is that historically, Cuba has paid for its oil on a barter system in exchange for goods and services. Cuba is reliant on imports for around 70% of all of the food in the country. As we've just discussed, the largest categories of imports are poultry, wheat, corn, milk, and rice. So let's have a look at what's happened to the price of all of those items over the last few months since Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Let's see what the movements have been. Poultry prices have more than doubled since the start of the pandemic and are up around 50% since the start of the war. As you'll know if you follow the channel, wheat prices have almost doubled since the start of the war. The price of corn is up more than 50%. International rice prices are also up around 50%. And milk prices are up around 10%. So the bottom line for Cuba is that the price of all of the main items that they are reliant upon and that they're importing have all gone up significantly since the start of the war. And it's reported that Cubans spend around 80% of all of their income on food items. But it's not just the price of food that's a problem for Cuba. It's the sheer availability and shortages. The main supermarkets in Cuba are state-owned, and these supermarkets are now running seriously short of basic food items. There are some privately owned stores, but a lot of those stores will only accept foreign currency. They won't take Cuban peso. The exchange rate for the Cuban peso has been set at 24 pesos to $1. However, in the black markets, the peso is trading for around 110 pesos to $1. Now, the US dollar is not officially accepted in all of the state-run supermarkets. However, it is used commonly amongst the population, and there is a relatively high level of dollarization in the country. As I mentioned earlier, Cuba has oil reserves. And the industry was developed post-World War II in conjunction with a lot of the American majors. But following the Fidel Castro regime taking over and the relationship souring with the US, those majors all left and the Cuban oil industry was nationalized. As a direct result of the presence of oil on the island, electricity generation on the island was focused on using oil. And around two-thirds of all electricity generated in Cuba is thermoelectric. During the period of the strong relationship with the Soviet Union, this worked very well, as Cuba was provided with an abundance of Russian oil, which it was able to use some of for its own sources and sell on the balance for a huge profit. However, the reliance on oil for electricity generation proved a problem in the 90s after the breakup of the Soviet Union, and this led to extensive periods of blackouts in Cuba. After a significant period of problems, a new relationship was established between Cuba and Venezuela in the early 2000s. And Venezuela is the country that has the largest reserves of oil globally and has had problems finding trading relationships because of the political history of the country. Another barter deal, similar to the deal that was put in place with the Soviets, was established between Cuba and Venezuela. Cuba got access to free oil in exchange for sending educated people such as doctors, coaches, intelligence advisors, and military advisors to Venezuela. Venezuela was providing around 100,000 barrels of oil a day in exchange for Cuban doctors setting up clinics for the poor in Venezuela's most downtrodden neighborhoods, and thousands of Venezuelans traveled free of charge to Havana for medical treatment of everything from cataracts to gunshot wounds. The oil coming from Venezuela allowed Cuba to pay off some long-standing debts and to revamp the island's fading tourist industry. The workers for oil deal generated more income than rum, cigars, or anything else that Cuba produced. The people of Cuba therefore became its main export, and it was common to see Cuban workers returning from Venezuela carrying expensive items such as flat-screen TVs. However, unfortunately for Cuba, a major downturn in the Venezuelan economy started in 2017, and from that time onwards, the supply of oil has reduced significantly and is now down to around 50,000 barrels of oil per day, compared with the 100,000 at its peak. And this is a major problem for Cuba because they are still reliant on that oil for the generation of electricity, and they simply don't have any money or foreign currency to be able to buy oil in the international markets. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because Cuba is clearly suffering as a result of what's going on in Ukraine. We have got a major increase in food prices and oil prices, and they are the main commodities that Cuba has to import. It is entirely reliant upon import of food to feed its population, and it needs foreign currency in order to buy that food. And the problem that Cuba has is that it doesn't really generate enough foreign currency to be able to do that. Now, in the past, It relied upon a barter system. It was essentially a satellite state of the Soviet Union and was being given a lot of free oil and other items, which it could then monetize and also use for its own purposes. So during that period, Cuba was funded entirely by the Soviet Union. When that arrangement finished in the early 1990s, the economy was thrown into chaos, and it took a long period of time for the authorities to try to work something out. The arrangement that they put in place with Venezuela was a similar sort of barter arrangement that they had with the Soviet Union. However, this arrangement was focused on the expertise of the people of Cuba going and providing services that Venezuela didn't have, that they couldn't get. So they exchanged people for oil. And that relationship worked until the Venezuelan economy got into difficulty, and now they're struggling to be able to supply a similar amount of oil. So Cuba has been struggling for a long period of time in terms of balancing its books. And where we are right now is a really critical period for the island, because they don't have any large reserves of currency. They don't have any real means of being able to generate any currency, and they don't have anybody that they can turn to in terms of a bailout. So the relationships that they were working on over the last 50 or 60 years have really been based on the communist socialist ideology of helping out fellow countries. But unfortunately, that isn't going to see them through this particular crisis. They will need some hard cash to be able to buy in the food to feed the population, and also to buy in oil to keep electricity running and to prevent any blackouts. And the problem that Cuba has right now is that it doesn't have a lot of friends who are looking to help them out. It was formerly a member of the IMF, but unfortunately, it's relinquished its membership and the relationship has soured, and it doesn't really have anybody to turn to. So it's now having to come up with creative ideas as to how it gets itself out of this situation. And those ideas are going to have to be really creative, because as it sits right now, the future looks bleak for Cuba. They need to buy food, they don't have any money, and they don't really have any friends in the world as it sits right now. And the other reason that I wanted to post this video is to look at whether or not the sanctions that have been imposed against Cuba by the USA have put them into this situation, and whether it's likely that a similar sort of scenario could occur for Russia. So the two countries that I've just been talking about, Cuba and Venezuela, are two countries that have been sanctioned by the US. And Venezuela has also been sanctioned by a variety of other countries. And that's led to a restriction in the amount of trade that Venezuela can do. And the economy is now starting to implode and really suffer. And that is a direct result of those sanctions. The Cuban situation is slightly different because it's just sanctions from the US. So you've still got relationships with Canada and Europe, and we still have a lot of tourists that go there from those areas. But the US has really caused Cuba a major problem because it was its closest trading ally in the past. And by cutting those ties, it's damaged the economy of Cuba. And there is a really strong possibility, I think, that what's happening right now with Russia could result in a similar sort of scenario. Not as extreme, because it's much larger than Venezuela and Cuba in terms of the economy and the amount of resources that it has. But in terms of reducing trading partnerships and your options, that is not good for business. So Russia now is going to be more reliant upon its relationship with China and some of the other Asian countries. But if it then hits a difficulty in that relationship, in the same way that Cuba hit a difficulty with the Soviet Union, then you really are stranded. You've got nowhere else to turn. And that's really the learning point here, that Cuba painted itself into a corner, firstly with the Soviet Union, and secondly with Venezuela, really, because it didn't have any other options. And as soon as those relationships died, Cuba is now very isolated and really exposed and at risk of a huge humanitarian disaster. And Russia could well be getting itself into a similar situation. It's reducing its number of trading partners. And if it then suddenly finds that the relationship with one or two of those key partners, like China, doesn't go to plan, then they will be exposed and isolated and could find themselves in a world of pain. So it probably won't happen overnight, but there is a really big risk for Russia going forward that they could find themselves in a much, much worse situation in 5 or 10 years' time than they are right now. So hopefully you found this video useful, informative, and educational. If you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up, and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.